Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
So there, again, a brief glimpse at a brief against the law. And we will be speaking to people who have filed for. But meanwhile, we just want to mention that the Missouri Attorney General filed a brief arguing that even if the court decides to overturn the individual mandate that requires that almost everyone have insurance, either they purchase it or someone, an employer, does for them, the rest of the law should stand. Missouri arguing that so many provisions have already kicked in. They cite funding for maternal, infant, and early childhood care, funding for school-based health centers, requiring chain restaurants to have nutritional labeling, and requiring that employers have break time and space for nursing moms. That prompted us to want to take a closer look at some of the provisions of health care reform that are already in place and those that are ready to kick in on the horizon. So we turn now to Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. Mary Agnes, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And just start with the two most popular provisions.
Well, people really like this provision that adult children up to age 26 could stay on your health insurance plan if they can't get coverage at work. The federal government estimates that about 2.5 million children have been covered under this adult children this provision. Another one that's very popular is preventive care services without a copay or a deductible or a coinsurance. Here we're talking about things like breast cancer screening or cholesterol screening. Again, these are administration figures, but they say there's about 54 million people who've used at least one of these services and haven't faced a copayment. Seniors are getting more help with their Medicare prescription drug costs, especially when they fall into a gap in the prescription drug plans known as the donut hole. That'll eventually be closed, but they're getting some help now.
I'm going to hold you up there because that donut hole always, you know, blows a hole in people's minds. Like, what? What's that again? This is the donut hole in the Medicare Part D prescription drug plan that required that seniors pay a certain amount up to the hole or not pay a certain amount up to the hole.
Exactly. You pay a certain amount, and then you're on your own till about $4,600, but they're trying to narrow that so seniors don't have to face so much money out of their pockets when they need the prescription drugs.
And about 4 million seniors have now benefited from closing that so-called donut hole, that you don't have to spend so much of your own. But that coverage gap is not going to be closed entirely to what, 2020?
Well, actually, even at 2020, seniors will still pay 25%, so it will be narrowed. And you'll still have to pay a piece of it, but it will be far different than it currently exists.
Right. And so you mentioned a couple of the other things that are already enacted, some of the preventive screenings, mammograms and cholesterol tests that don't have a deductible or a copay. But what about pre-existing conditions? This is at the heart of the Obama administration's argument that they need the individual mandate to help subsidize this requirement that hospitals, or that insurers rather, not bar patients that have pre-existing conditions. That's how they got a lot of the insurers on board. So explain the pre-existing condition aspect.
Sure. Currently, right after the law's enactment, it made it you could not deny coverage to a child based on a pre-existing condition, but it doesn't kick in for the rest of the population until 2014. And by 2014, an expansion in the Medicaid program, which is a shared federal-state program, that expansion will start to get more, particularly childless adults, covered. The health insurance exchanges will be up and running to help eligible individuals and small businesses get coverage. So that's really when 2014 is the big year, with exchanges kicking in, the Medicaid expansion kicking in, and then an insurer could not say, at that point, there's no denial based on a pre-existing condition.
So it's children now. And did you say how many might be taking advantage of this?
I did not. And I'm trying to remember off the top of my head,
That's okay.
Which I can't. But it's a significantly valuable thing for parents who've had a kid with a chronic disease, a chronic illness. They were having difficulties getting coverage, that now the coverage can't be denied. But they also don't cap the price increase, and insurers can raise their premiums based to cover that.
You mentioned the insurance exchanges in about the minute we have before we'll take a break. Remind us what those are for people who can't afford health insurance.
Well, there will be subsidies. Exchanges are basically marketplaces to allow eligible individuals and small businesses to buy coverage, but the law also provides subsidies for individuals for up to 400% of the poverty level to help them purchase coverage on the exchanges when they're up and running.
Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News. We were looking at some of the provisions, like requiring employers to provide a space for nursing moms. There's also a $50 million a year in federal money program for abstinence-only education programs. And drug and medical device companies have to disclose on a public website how much money they're giving doctors and teaching hospitals, a transparency that's welcomed by a lot of people. But Mary Agnes, talk to us about employer, health wellness programs in the workplace. Tell us about that.
Well, the one provision that's been getting a lot of attention is as of 2014, participants in wellness programs can get a discount or get a reward from their employer for up to 30% of the cost of their health care premiums. Now, if the employers get permission from the Department of Health and Human Services and the Department of Labor, that discount can go as high as 50%. And the controversy here surrounds what you have to do to get the discount. Is it simply participating in a smoking cessation program, for example? Is it simply filling out a form? Or will the employer be allowed to set a target? Your weight needs to drop by this amount. Or we need your cholesterol to be reduced by a certain percentage. The regulations putting this in place haven't gone forward yet, but a lot of patient groups are concerned that if, for particular reasons, an individual can't meet that discounted rate, that perhaps their premiums for health insurance could actually go up to help cover the discount for their coworkers who can't hit those targets.
Well, isn't there also a question as to who determines what the target is? I mean, someone may be getting healthier, but not in a way you can measure, like cholesterol count. They may be now suddenly working out every day because of a wellness program, but there's no way to track that.
I think we can all personally attest, if you've had difficulty losing weight, no matter you feel like what you eat or
what you're
doing.
Who are you talking to? Sure. But, I mean, this,
exactly.
You may feel better, but it may not show up somewhere. Yeah.
This is all the difficulty. In principle, this sounds like a terrific thing. And employers say, look, we want to incentivize our employees to get better, to live healthier lives. It will lower health care costs. But how do you get there? The devil, as they say in Washington, is always in the details. It's really going to be a tough regulation to craft.
Okay. And just to be clear, the small businesses who got some incentives, that was in 2011 when companies with fewer than 100 employees working at least 25 hours a week became eligible for these wellness program grants.
Right.
And now the potential discount goes into effect in 2014.
That's correct.
Yeah. Address the changes in the flexible spending accounts and remind us what those are.
Sure. These are pre-tax dollars you put aside at the beginning of the year, and then you use them to cover medical expenses that aren't covered by your health insurance. Previously, for example, if your allergy medication had gone over the counter, you could purchase it over the counter and submit that for coverage from your flexible spending account. Starting January of 2011 of last year, you needed a prescription from your doctor to use that flexible spending. And there were some exceptions like contact lens solution and bandages. But the next provision coming down the road here on this particular issue is as January 1st of next year, 2013, you're going to be capped for flexible spending at $2,500 a year. Previously, there was no limit. Employers could set the limit of what they wanted to do for their workers, but that $2,500 cap, drafters of the law at the time when they debated it said they thought it would cover most people, but there are some people that might do flexible spending. You know, if someone in your family is wearing braces, for example, you might want to put $5,000 a year aside. Starting next January, you're going to be capped at $2,500.
Yeah, okay. Medicare, just briefly touch on that. The law expanded Medicare's coverage of preventive services such as screenings for colon, prostate, and breast cancer, now free to beneficiaries. But Medicare Advantage plans, which were run by private insurers, they were an alternative to traditional Medicare. We understand some of those were cut. Explain that.
On average, Medicare Advantage plans have been costing the government more per beneficiary than what they spend on those beneficiaries when they are in traditional fee-for-service. And just so you know, the breakdown is about 75% of beneficiaries are in the traditional plan, about 25% of beneficiaries in Medicare Advantage. And so the thought is over time, you will equalize the payments given to a private insurer, a Medicare Advantage plan, to cover a beneficiary versus what they're paid, the government would pay to cover that beneficiary in fee-for-service. There are some bonus incentive programs for Medicare Advantage to reward plans that are more efficient and produce better results. But the thought is if you equalize them over time, they'll be on a more solid playing field. What private insurers will tell you is they're concerned that as those reductions come forward, many of these plans won't be able to offer, a lot of times they offer more general benefits than traditional fee-for-service. They might cover hearing aids, they might cover eyeglasses or gym memberships. But recent numbers from the federal government have shown that even the payment cuts have just begun for Medicare Advantage, but even with those reductions, there's been more choices for beneficiaries and more beneficiaries have gone into those plans. So we'll have to see how it plays out. But again, the thought is, let's equal a playing field as far as government payment.
Well, and just overall, just to remind Medicare recipients that Medicare, under this law, will pay for an annual wellness visit to the doctor. In other words, the doctor can actually sit and speak to you and spend some time with you, and that's covered under Medicare.
Yeah, it's all about the idea of managing care more, with the idea if you get more screenings, more preventive services, you can have a wellness visit every year, perhaps you could catch something earlier that would become quite an expensive illness and difficult for you to certainly endure as a Medicare beneficiary.
That's Mary Agnes Carey of the Kaiser Health Network. We've been talking about some aspects of President Obama's health care reform law that are already in effect. Of course, over the next couple of days, we'll be hearing a lot more about the bigger questions of the individual mandates and, in fact, how that mandate was expected to pay for some of the things that we just talked about in the argument from the Obama administration that maybe they can't afford, for instance, allowing people with pre-existing conditions to be carried by insurance if they don't have the mandate. So we'll take up all those arguments in the coming days. But Mary Agnes, thanks for talking about the law as it stands now.
Thanks for having me.